Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Yevamos Kuf Yud Beis. We left off Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We actually didn't get quite up to the two dots. We probably just reached the two dots. We stopped a couple lines before that. Let's go to the fifth wide line, where lines get wide. Fifth wide line, Kari Khan. Says the Gemara, fourth row of the line. Kari Khan, ask the Gemara question now. We were talking about in the Mishnah yesterday that a katan and a katana, before Mibim, they stay married until they get older, even if it's a katan with a gedela, a katan with a katana. We discussed whether or not Rameir can read off the Mishnah. Rameir holds a katan and a katana cannot even. Ultimately, the Gemara settled on the fact that the Mishnah is not like Rameir, who's chayesh the mute. He's worried about the katan and a katana being his ris or being alnus, and therefore they can't do a maisabia until they reach a maturity, and we have more of a convincing. They show simani gadlus. We were not less concerned about them being a serious or nihilus. They ask the Gemara. The whole point of Ibim is the chayyur to procreate. Ask the Gemara. Kari kan lachushem v'hala hayla barachiyu. The pasuk says the whole point of Ibim is in order to establish a name for the brother, and the chayyur this katan is not fit for this. It doesn't have the ability to procreate. Amar baye. Amar kro yivama yavelea. Koldu, the pasuk says yivama yavelea, we darshan from lush yivama yavelea. Koldu, whatever his age is, as long as the shaykh tavabia, yivama yavelea, there is he's able to yivam. Rava says, you don't need the reba, the pasuk, to say that a katan's yivam is yivam. Blavachinami lamat samrit. Even without this, you wouldn't say that a yavam is excluded from yivam. Why? Could it be that he's going to fall to yivam, this katan and katana? Right now, in the fall to yivam, they're usser, and then later they become mutter, and it didn't change. Any yivam, they don't say at the time of the nefila, at the time of the death, you don't say yivam yavaleh, that there's a mitzvah of yivam at that moment. They're going to remain us forever. Really, remember, this is a basic idea that we have throughout the whole Masechta. The mitzvah of Yibam is the anomaly. There's really an Isser of Eshes Ach till that moment. When a man dies without children, all of a sudden the mitzvah, the Isser of Eshes Ach gets cast aside, and there's a mitzvah of Yibam. But anytime there's no Shaykh, they're not Shaykh to do Yibam. At the moment of the Nefila, they're Usser to do Yibam. The Isser of Eshes Ach remains in force, and therefore she's going to be asa forever. So if you tell me that a katan can't do yibam, is the dispensation of Eshes Ach that was not pushed away, the iser, in order for the mitzvah of yibam, they'll be made asa forever, and therefore it must be that a katan could do yibam. You don't even need the pasuk, you don't even need the drasha. That's Rava's pshat. Oh my God, ask the Gemara, who says that it's so pasha that the katan is going to be mutter later on? Maybe an achrami, if the yibam falls to a brother's katan, it's asur then, and it is asur laylam. Ve'em achrami, we know we have an exclusion of two achim that were not in the world at the same time, right? We know it was excluded from the mitzvah of Ibam. But achim, a brother that was in the world at the same time, certainly is a mitzvah of Ibam. And therefore, even when you have a brother that is not yet fit for Bia, so still, the spilling so mitzvah of Yibam is still going to apply, and therefore must be that later they're mutter, and if they're mutter later, must be they're ready mutter now. That's Rava's deflection on this question on the Gemara Shaila. Okay, so we had said in the Mishnah that if they got the Yavam and the Yavama moved in together, so after a period of time, the Yavama comes and complains that she wants to have a chalitza. He's not living with her. They're not having bia. She wants a chalitza. So the question was, what's the appropriate amount of time that we can believe her that bia didn't take place? And at what point of time do we take the assumption that bia did take place? The nafkmina is, the yavam saying, we had bia, we have done yibam. The yavam is saying, we didn't have bia, we didn't do the active bia yet. And the shayla is, even if they're going to get divorced or separate, is it going to be a get or a chalitza? Can we force them to chalitza? That was the mishnah. The mishnah said, up to 30 days, we can believe, trust, we can assume that the bia did not take place yet. Bia could take place right away, but it's normal for the bia not to take place up to 30 days, and therefore she is believed in her time that bia didn't take place, and she can push for a chalitza, and we force the husband to either give a chalitza or take care of the mitzvah of yibam. Don't leave her as in this kind of aguna type of state, or I'm sorry, that's till 30 days. After 30 days, we say, Adraba, the assumption is bia must have likely taken place, and therefore we mevakish from him. We ask him to do chalitza based on her complaint, her taina, that she never had a bia. She needs the chalitza to get out, get one of them work. She needs a chalitza. So we ask him to chalitza, but we can't force him anymore because we assume that the bia likely did take place. Taisus, that was the Mishnah. Taisus actually asked that on top Taisus of the page, we mentioned yesterday, Taisus says, Mahu Mafsid, let him do chalitza anyway. According to her, she needs chalitza. According to him, they don't need chalitza. Okay, so humor, do chalitza to give her the chalitza that she holds she needs in order to be able to get remarried. What's the big deal? Why, even if he doesn't believe they need chalitza, let him do it anyway. He says because chalitza is embarrassing. The act of chalitza is embarrassing, and unless there's an assumption to say that we believe her that the chalitza is needed, we're not going to force the chalitza, which is something which is suspicious. It's embarrassing for her to go to Bezdin. She spits in front of him. We actually pointed out in the past that the halacha is a melech does not get chalitza. If a person dies without children and his brother happens to be the king, the wife is stuck. She can't go out. She can't go out with chalitza because it doesn't pass. It's inappropriate for the chalitza to the king. We spoke out even melech shemachal kavayde in kavayde machal. We contrasted that with the case of a daughter falling to her father for yibam. Obviously, a daughter that we know is the daughter falls to the father for yibam. She's automatically exempt from yibam chalitza anyway. First mission of the Masechta, Bita, right? The Daf Beis Ben Aleph is exempt from yibam, but we had a case where it's a suffolk Bita. There's two women that fall to yibam. One of them is a suffolk Bita, one of them is a Bita. In order to make them both mutter, he's going to have to do chalitza to both of them. He just chalitza to both of them in order to be mat to them. So we spoke back then. Ayla chayra, it's a bizarre to be chalitza to one's father. So we said by av shemachal kvayt kvayt machal. Father chooses to be meichel kvayt machal. So in a case where the children get mixed up and there's a shaila which is his daughter and which is not his daughter, we'll say that was the gemara from a couple weeks ago. So we'll say that the father should allow chalitza. He should be meichel his covenant, allow chalitza even though it's a bizarre. But the point is, we see in multiple series we've discussed that chalitza is a form of bizarre to the husband to the oven with the brother-in-law. So here too, we cannot force him after 30 days to do chalitza. We can only ask him. Okay, says the Gemara now on this topic of 30 days. Who's the Tana that holds that till 30 days a person is able to hold back, restrain from having relations? But after 30 days, we assume for sure if they're living together, they have relations. This is going to come up in a couple weeks from now. We start a new Masechta's Ksuvis. And right away in the Masechta's Ksuvis, there's a Shaila discussion where if they get married, get together, and the husband comes and says, I didn't find Basula. He has tainus that she wasn't a Basula, as opposed to that was the assumption, the original marriage was based on the fact that she's a Basula and she wasn't a Basula. So the question is, how long could he come with that taina? Meaning, let's say they get married, and he only comes to taina weeks later. He says, this is the first time we had Bia, a few weeks later. How long can we believe they waited out for having Bia? So Rebbe says, tainus Basula is kosher Hashem up to 30 days to Rebbe Meir. Nistra la alter. If they were B'yichud, he's got to come with the claim immediately. There's no 30-day limit. If they weren't biyichud, then if they were happened to be married, but they weren't miyachid alone, it could be years, and he still has a tainus basulim until the first time the miyachid. But once the miyachid, that's only after that first time, if you have a taina, after that, no longer is he believed. But you see, according to our mayor, you get 30 days. You could be living together for 30 days and still not have biyah. That fits like a glove. With our Mishnah, the mayor says, Rabbah marfitim rabbeisi. So our mayor, indeed, there's no question, our mayor fits like our Mishnah beautifully. But you can even say, Rabbah says, rabbeisi also could be our Mishnah. Rabbeisi says that once the miyachid once, you already have to assume you have to come with tainus basulim. You already assume that Bia, once he waits till later, he's not going to be believed. Our Mishnah is giving you 30 days. Rabbeisi will tell you this is a big chilek. Ad kad the karbeisi husband, Rabbeisi only over there by a husband and wife. Elabar Sasa, the case is Arusa, to Gispa, that he's Gispa means like he's familiar with, he's very comfortable with, meaning if this is his chosen is the keyword of here, his chosen wife that he's waiting to be with, and therefore we assume the first time they had Yichud, they have Bia. Avalacious Achiv, his brother's wife, that's the whole situation is awkward. Says the Gemara Tapi Kufi Beis Malaf, Mizvah's buzzes me day. Over there, they could be embarrassed of each other, he's embarrassed of her. We actually had them early, if you remember, we had two svaras. One svar we had was that a person could have a strong taiva for the, I forget if it's the sister-in-law to the brother-in-law or the other way, but there could be a strong taiva between the Eishes Achiv, because there's certainly a familiarity, and that familiarity can create a bigger taiva, or it can create a bigger awkwardness, a bigger challenge, so to speak, in that relationship. So our Gemara is saying that the tzad that according to Beisi, you're not going to compare a case of a rusa where we assume there's bia right away whenever there was yichud to a case of yibam where even though there's yichud, perhaps there wasn't bia right away because they just weren't so comfortable yet. They weren't comfortable as much as they know each other. Adrab, it creates awkwardness. They weren't so comfortable, and therefore Beisi could also be the town of our Mishnah that says you have up to 30 days till we assume the bia took place, even by Yibam, you have up to 30 days till we assume the Bia took place. On this idea of Mizvah Bazmine, and this idea that sometimes the close relatives could be more awkward, we know this famous idea that Chazal the avodah zarah v'yetzahara was taken away. The daven, the avodah zarah was taken away, the yetzahara for avodah zarah was taken away. However, the yetzahara for arayas, they wanted to take it away, but then they saw that people were going to have children, they weren't going to procreate if there's no yetzahara for children. For relations, and therefore the Yetzirah for relations remained in place. But here's a key but Chazal, they did succeed, so to speak. They did decide to minimize the taiva, the Yetzirah for certain ancestral, certain close relatives, the relations, the taiva for those relations, that was mitigated. And the question is how far that goes. This is because a brother's wife may not make that target, but the element of ancestral relationships does have a lighter yetzara. That element definitely exists. Okay, says the Gemara further. Acha kafir eselachlitz. We're telling them after 30 days he hasn't done hadbia yet. So we're forcing him to chalitza now up to 30 days. If she's complaining that he hasn't hadbia, we force the chalitza. Why force the chalitza? Why don't we just force him to yibam? Acha kafir eselachlitz nechven liyabim. Instead of forcing the chalitza, why don't we force him to yibam? Amarav kishigiti yetz mitachas yada. The mishnah told my case, but she already has a get. Since he already gave her a get, marriage is an option. Yibam's an option. He already gave her a get. It must be that the only option for her to exit is going to be chalitza. Meaning, he's claiming they had bia and he gave her a get, she's good to go. She's claiming we never had bia, this get is just a get that's going to break the zika, but I still need a chalitza, and therefore up to 3 days, we trust her and we do force the chalitza. May I ask my question one second? You telling me that in a case where there was a get, and we're talking about a case where there was a get, and we're forcing chalitza. That's the story over here. Ask the Gemara from a Braisa. Yivam b'sheva she'amra b'sech shalashim yoyim le'nevalti. Yivam says within 30 days, I did not have bia yet with my brother-in-law. Bainchu aymer ba'alti. Bainchu aymer le'balti. Whether he says ba'alti, he's arguing, says I did have bia, or whether he agrees that he says I didn't have bia yet, kaifin aysay she'achasla. We force him to chalitza. Okay, that's all within 30 days. After 30 days, we ask him to chalitza, we no longer force him, but we ask him to chalitza. Now, what if he marries Nevalti, she says, she's the one that says, we had bia. He says, no, we didn't have bia yet. How is he to beget? She says, we have bia. He says, there's no bia yet. So the halacha is, he could just get rid of her with a get, because she doesn't even need chalitza, because the shtasa, according to her own chita, she's married to him, and therefore all she needs is get to go free. She doesn't need chalitza. And you have to force him to do chalitza when she's not demanding it. He says, we have bia. If he says, we have bia, and she says, we didn't have bia. Even though later he retracts and admits, or he says, I changed my mind, we talk, I didn't have bia, halacha tzricha gev chalitza. In that case, he needs gev chalitza. But here's the point. We had asked before, why are you forcing chalitza? If it's up to 30 days, nothing's been done, force yibam. Why force chalitza? So we answered, the case is where there already was a get, and therefore yibam is not an option, therefore we force chalitza. But look at this last case, the braisa. She says, I didn't have any bia yet, and with still within 30 days, and she claims she didn't have bia. And then he comes along and says, no, we had bia. And then he changed his mind and said, no, you're right, we didn't have bia. So what does he need? What does Bar say? Tzricha get fechlitza. She needs both a get and chalitza. Now, tzricha get fechlitza is very clear. There was no get yet. Tzricha get fechlitza means you can get now. So now you have a strong question. Why don't we say, until you force chalitza, force yibam. Now you're back to the question. You see that you force chalitza even when yibam is still a possibility, because if they're giving a get now, that means the get wasn't given until now. The Gemara says, no. Amarvami, tzri chalitza im gita. The words should not be tzri get v'chalitza. It should be tzri chalitza im gita. You need, in addition to the existing get, you need to add a chalitza. But there was an existing get already in the possession of the Yivama. Meaning, we're tweaking the words a bit and saying, Avada, here too, we're talking about a case where she had already received a get. Rav Ashi has a different answer, and the Bryce is not a question. Rav, remember, Rav was the one that offered the answer that she already had a get. Here we saw the Bryce that even when she doesn't have a get, we force chalitza. Answer number one is she already had a get. Answer number two, Rav Ashi says, Hasam get lizi kasei, hach get libi yasei. The get over there by Rav was talking about a get, was giving him physique. And when we spoke out, he gave her a get. We just pointed out that l'shitasai of the Yavam, where he already did be a for Yibam, so a get could be a real full-fledged get to divorce her, but Ladavka, it could be the get that she had was a get that was given even before before he admitted that it was Bia, and the get was there just to sever, to make a break in the Zika bond. So therefore, such a get causes you can no longer do yibam. But in our case, the price is a separate issue. He's claiming there was a bia. He retracted afterwards. But since there was a claim of a bia, and there was no claim of a get till that point, she now needs a chalitza for the tzad there was no bia, and she needs a get for the tzad that he's correct. There was a bia. She needs chalitza. She needs a get to divorce an actual marriage of Yibam. So that's why this price you need both, but there was the get referred to by Rav was the get for the Zika, the get referred to here is the get to undo any potential marriage. Before we go further, just with the story, actual Meister Shaya, there's this idea of Shleishim Yayim. We're saying until 30 days, we believe for that perhaps they didn't have Bia. After 30 days, then we no longer assume that she had Bia, and it's Mavakshim, we can ask them, we can't demand, we can't force them anymore, because there's assumptions after 30 days, the Fshur was Bia. This idea of 30 days, of being able to withstand, so to speak, to hold back from having Bia, even limited to 30 days, it plays a big role in the concept, of course, of every marriage. Every marriage, we know that there's times that the Isha is going to be Usher, typically on a monthly cycle, she's Usher for a couple of weeks every month, the Isha is Usher to the husband, yet we let them live together. Why do they live together? There's many other factors as well. They've already once had Bia, it's possible Sali, they're going to be again later on. But one of the ideas that's brought down, one of the ideas of at least from a time perspective, is that it's normal to be able to withhold for 30 days. Now, we know there's cases where the husband will be Usher and the wife for more than 30 days. After Leida, let's say, very often, it can be a lot longer than 30 days. But the general concept is, and generally speaking, that since we know that we have this chazak, that for 30 days it's shaykh for a person to live together and have relations. And our Gemara talking about even when they're living together for the first time, it's third shaykh up to 30 days and have relations. Certainly, a husband and wife who already again have had bia and they have possible side that they're going to have had later on, we can safely assume at least for 30 days, we can safely assume that we can let them live b'isser. Any other erva, you know, other erva living together, you can't have ishish be miyachin with another man. Of course not. It's a classic issue of erva. Any other erva, really, an aunt. A father's brother's wife, can't be miyachid with her, but over here, by a husband and wife, because of the other factors, up to 30 days also is a time where we say it's more lenient. Again, the kula applies even more than 30 days, so it's not a cutoff point, but definitely this notion that a person can hold back within 30 days is a point in the equation to say why it's always mutter. Hanushnayim maidim. There was a Yavam and Yavama that both agreed they never had Bia. They had been living together for over 30 days, and they both agreed they never had relations. Dasa came to Rava. They came in front of Rava. Amar Luhu, Rava said to them, Chaltzala, Rava said, arrange a chalitza for her, for Shalot Tigra, and let her, this is Lashon we've had a couple times already in the Masechta. Shalot Tigra means, Tigra usually means like you finish the argument, so to speak, you finish the nidin, the diyan. Over here, we've pointed out the chalitza is like a diyan. Chalitza kind of monetary, has monetary, nafkminas, it's like a diyan. So let's arrange chalitza and let's finish the business, let's finish this diyan. So, because Yav himself is made it, there's no bia. Amar Yav Shavi the Rava, Fatanya, I work the Bryce at Sri Chakev Chalitza. You need to get a chalitza. It's not good enough just to have a chalitza. Since they're living together, since they've been together for 30 days, the price that said they need even a get as well, because perhaps there was a marriage here, so you need to get a chalitza to make her truly mutter. Rava says, you're right. Rava says to him, itanya tanya. If the price that taught, you talk and need a get in addition to chalitza, then I take back my psak. Even though they're both made, they're both saying there's no bia, but if the price that says that you need to get a chalitza here, you need to get a chalitza. Remember, the price case is a little different. The price case, he first claimed there was a bia. She said there's no bia. Then he retracted and he said there was taka no bia. So he retracted and said there's no bia. Over there, we require a chalitza. In our case, sounds like he was right away was admitting there's no bia. Okay, but either way, was connecting the bais and saying that you need to get a chalitza. And Rava was maskim. Rava retracted. Bayiminei hain braid Rav Nachman mid Rav Nachman. Bayiminei hain Rashi says the name of a person, son of Rav Nachman. He asked from Rav Nachman, his father, Tzara samahu. What's going to be the halacha of the tzara in these cases? What's the halacha of the tzara? Meaning, the Reuben died without children, left over two wives. One of the wives went and was taken in Yibam by Shimon, by the brother, which is matter, should be matter, the co-wife, but then after 30 days, or within 30 days, whatever it is, within 30 days, that's called 25 days, the wife that was taken into Yibam with Shimon says she still has not Bia. So does that create an issue now that the tzara, the co-wife, is still bound because Bia didn't take place? Or no, once they get together, she's fine. So it says Gemara, Amalim Chimesha Anu Kaifin Mavakshin, Tiyasu Tzara, because on behalf of the Yivama, who's claiming she didn't have Yibam yet, and we forced the Abdu Chalitza, is that going to aser the co-wife? Meaning, the logic of Eir L'Chir is as follows. She is the one who's taking Yibam, and she's claiming the never bia. She's shaveh nafshah chitichad asura. She's saying, we never had Yibam. If we never had Yibam, I'm usher. I'm not married to this guy. I'm not married to the brother-in-law. I never did Yibam. And I'm not put to the veld because I'm still zakat Yibam. So she made herself chitichad asura, so we believe her for herself, and therefore we force the guy to Yibam, and the rest of the deen will be discussed. However, for the Sarah, there's no shaveh nafshah chitichad asura. The Sarah wasn't involved. She's not saying, we don't believe the co-wife of the Gabi Tzara, and therefore she's not bound to the dinim or the status that we're putting on the woman, the Yavama, that's claiming that they never had even. The question is, what was the maskana? The highness, the shayla, what was the Tzara? And the Mara says, no, because you're dealing with this woman's complaint, so it automatically affects the co-wife. Who says, why would I say that? What's the shakra of Taya? So it's interesting, there's a famous chakira in the concept of really a shaveh nafshah chitichad asura, in essays as well, but it's comes up many times in Shas. Shaveh nafshah, a person says on themselves, they say this certain situation is usur. Others say it's mutter. They say it's usur. The classic case is by a piece of meat, where people are saying this piece of meat is kosher. And he's saying, I know it's usur. So if he himself, he can't eat the meat. Even if you have many eidim testifying it's kosher, if he's saying, I know it's not kosher, he can't eat the piece of meat, even if eidim testifying it's kosher. That's the basic idea of shaveh nafshah chitichad asura. The shaila is, what's the power? What does that mean? What's the power that he's the gabi him? We say it's not usur. The gabi him, this piece of meat or this relationship is usur because based on his words, even though he's being contradictory, he's not believed. The gabi others, the gabi himself, it's going to be usur. What's the idea? Is he believed? Is it an emunus? Is it a belief? We believe him. And the gabi himself, he has more emunus than anybody else, or is it like a neder? This is a famous hakira that Tzais brings, is like a neder. Meaning, do we say that because the person is treating it like isser, he's not believed? Eidim say the meat, go back to the case of piece of meat. Eidim say the piece of meat is mutter. How can he be believed to make it usser? But by him saying to me, I know it's usser, it's the same power that he has to make a neder and make the meat usser himself. He has like that same power to say it's usser also for him to eat because he believes it's usser, it's usser. Not that we're trusting him that it's usser, even the Gabi himself, it's just a power of neder, or no. The Gabi himself, we actually have a trust, it's an amanis. He is believed. So nafkamin l'chor would be over here, perhaps you can learn very geshmak, but that's the shakar v'tayr over here. That the Habina held that the power of shaveh nafshah, she's saying we never had bia, so I'm stama, zakuka, waiting to yibam. I'm living with him, but we never had bia, we never did yibam, therefore I need either bia or I need chalitza to go free. So, or the case we said in our Mishnah, she already receives a get. So the only option now is going to be chalitza. But the point is, she is not... The Habin held that she's believed. It's an emunus. If it's an emunus, it wouldn't just affect her. It would affect also perhaps the co-wife. And the maskana could be very simply one of two things. Maskana could be either, no, it's not an emunus. It's like a neder. It's an emunus. She's making like her emunus, the belief is only to the extent that she has a power to make a neder. She has a power to make sure she needs, in this case, chalitza, make the items could be usher in her without the chalitza. But not that she's mamish believed, and therefore wouldn't affect the co-wife. That could be one simple tzad. The problem is, of course, that is the Kshayis himself learns, that is it is indeed a power in emunus. It's not a power of neder. When you're coming out in the maskana, that's a power of emunus. So the answer could be simply, even if it's an amanus, it's only an amanus as far as it relates to herself. Even if it's an amanus, it's only an amanus for herself. It's not an amanus, even if that's ironically enough. We believe in the Gabi herself, and we don't believe in the Gabi someone else. We can split the amanus, the amanus of the Gabi herself, now the Gabi her co-wife, and therefore even inside of the amanus, the maskana can still work out very simply that she's not believed the Gabi the co-wife. Okay. But again, the big lump of shayla in the power of
shayla. Question in this Gemara.
Okay. Says Gemara. Hanaderes, Ana, we said if the woman makes a nether during the husband's lifetime about benefiting from her husband's brother, then when her husband dies without children, we force the brother-in-law, who she can't do even to now because of her nether, we force him to do chalitza. But if she made the nether after her husband was already dead, so she was raised up to Ibam, so then we say she was trying to circumvent about the path that's the Zika. To the brother-in-law, we don't force him to do chalitza. We give him a choice. He can't do Ibam because of her nether. We don't force him to do chalitza. We ask him, please do chalitza because he's stuck. He can't do Ibam anyway. Do chalitza, but we can't force him because she's the one that kind of brought it on herself. Fine. Tanas, we said in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, we said, if she said, it's clear that even while she was married, she was making another just to avoid, to circumvent the brother-in-law, again, we would only be mevakashim, ask him to chalitza, we can't force him. Tanas, the reason why we're quoting this Gemara, this Mishnah really, from Nedarim, Daf Tzadi, we're quoting it all because we're going to circle back to our Mishnah. They used to say that three women could go out. They could, I don't want to say force a divorce, but they based on their tainas, they're entitled to get out of a marriage, receive a get and a rental tzuva, and they could even collect the tzuva. What are the three cases? If a woman says, I'm tummy to you, this does not mean she went and she was mazanis. That's first of all, a woman's tamazai is not necessarily believed. And she certainly wouldn't get a ksuva. Rather, it means a case where she's, let's say, married to a kayin. A kayin, halacha is, even if his wife is nenas, right? Even if his wife is violated against her will, is asur to, she's asur to the kayin now. So she says, I was nenas. I'm asur to you because I was nenas. And nothing, no fault of my own. But we can't say married. So halacha and Rishayin used to say was she's believed. And she gets receives a get, and she receives a ksuva. Next, she says, if she said, the Shemaim is between you and I. What does that mean? So Rashi, interesting, Rashi says, and what that means is, she's claiming, you're not being be with me. You're not being Mekayim Aina. You're not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Aina. That's how Rashi learns, which is interesting because the Gemara in the Dharma itself explains that the case is where she's saying that you're not Zerah Kechet. When we have relations, your Zerah doesn't shoot out like an arrow, which means, is a way of saying that she's complaining that he's sterile, he's not going to have children, she's not going to procreate. The Ran in the Dharma actually elaborates and says, so what's the problem? Why does she have a taina that you're not going to procreate and therefore I want to get divorced? She's not mitzvah peruvu. He's mitzvah peruvu. The Isha's not mitzvah peruvu. How is that a taina for her to get out? So we all know the answer. We had it not so long ago in this pesachta. We had mamish stories exactly along these lines where the woman demands to get divorced because the husband could have children and she came to the Rav, the back that was the Amaram over there, and they said, what's the problem? You know, I'm Mitzvah Peruvu. And she says, yeah, I'm Mitzvah Peruvu, but do I not need a cane to walk on in my old age to support me? Meaning, do I not need a child to be able to help take care of me when I get older? I need a child when I get older. And he said, M. Cain, if that's your taina, then you talk right. You're able to demand a get. So that's the Ran learns over there in the Dharma as well, that she's tining that he can't procreate, and therefore she's demanding a get. Again, the Rashi's Papayel says that she's tining that he's not having relations with Bichal. And lastly, she makes a neder, and that's a case that's going to be most relevant for us. Netula ani min yudim. If she says, I'm netula, I'm removed from the yudim, meaning she made a neder, not to be from the yudim. Rashi explains, the idea is that apparently B is very kasha for her, it's physically painful for her, and therefore she's essentially making neder from all Jewish men, not just from her husband, she's making neder from all Jewish men that she can't handle having Bia. So all those cases, we used to say that we force him to give her a get, and she collects a ksuva. Chazulema, but later they changed. Shleite, Ishu, they said this. They realized, you know what was happening? The women were not really, these claims weren't necessarily true. They were making these claims because they set their eyes on someone else and they wanted to get out of their current marriage in order to pursue this other fellow that they developed a desire for. So they said they realized that these women weren't necessarily being truthful. Therefore, what do they say? A woman that says that I'm tummy to you. She claims her husband, she's tummy, but we don't know for sure if she's saying the truth or she's making the story to be able to marry someone else. Tavi Radhavara, we say she has to be a raya, that what she's saying is true. She has to be some sort of proof to it, otherwise we're not going to force her to give her get. Similarly, Ashmai Meinei Mecha, Yashin Rabakasha, if she claims that not having Bia, the way Rashi learns, so according to the Gemara and Dharm, she claims that it's not Zer Kechetz, we Bakasha, let's go with that Rashi's Pshat of here, that the claim was that she's not having Bia. We ask Kedach Bakasha, treat her like a regular wife, which again means have Bia with her, or basically Gemara and Dharm would mean divorce her if you can't have children and she wants to have children. But the point is, we can only ask. We can no longer compel. We no longer compel because we're scared that maybe she's just doing a trick to get out. And lastly, Metulim Yudim, the halacha is when she makes a neder that she's removed from all Yudim, we don't use that to say, okay, she obviously has pain from Tashmish and therefore you should divorce her. Rather, Yarfa Chalka, the husband should be made for this interesting idea that he can be made for part of the neder. So she should be made for his chalik, that he should be mutter to her, and she therefore she'll still be mutter to have relations with him, with him to Yudim, but she taka will remain usher for the rest of Yudim. She remained like this, if her nedu is true, and she really, it's hard for her to have tashma, she remains usher without the Yudim, but she'll at least be mutter to husband, but we don't want to give her the ability to force her hand, to force his hand, and to force a get. Okay, so now there was this shayla. Before we get to the shayla, the Ran in the Dharma is a pom kasha. The Ran in the Dharma asks, I understand. You're telling me that we're concerned that maybe she's making up a story because she's nasna ein of acher, she has someone else she has desire for, she wants to get out of this marriage, she's making up a story to get out of the marriage, right? And that's, by the way, technically speaking, the first point out, so she obviously wouldn't be able to go get remarried within the city because people will see right away as she's playing games. She'll go somewhere else, but they don't recognize, that's by the case of neder. She'll go somewhere else, but they don't recognize her. They don't know she has a neder. She'll marry that guy somewhere else where no one's aware of the party neder. Fine. But the Rana is a bomb kasha. It's only a chash. It's a chash that maybe that maybe she's making up a story because she wants out. But on the side that she's not making up a story, then let's go to the first case. Let's say the case where she's a Eishes Kayin, that she's claiming she was Nenas. On the side she's not making up a story, she's mamish usher to her husband. She's usher to the husband. So how we know that we had a couple weeks ago, we had the idea that Chacham could be Eikar Davar min HaTorah b'shav al Taisa. That we spent a while trying to make proofs of it, but we found we were able to prove that Chacham could be Eikar Davar min HaTorah passively, that don't do a mitzvah in a case where Chazal so fit, it could lead to bigger issues, bigger problems. Don't get up and do a mitzvah, sit back and don't do it. But to be Eiver Navera, that we never had a clear proof that Chazal could be Eiker Davar HaTorah, to be Eiver Navera over here, we're saying that really she's believed. Really, normally, Mikra Din L'Chor sounds like she'd be believed. Chazal started to have doubt her, and therefore they said, we don't believe her until she brings a proof. But it comes out that Chazal is staying, she should stay married in a case where she really has a right to demand again and be out of the marriage. And then Eiker Davar HaTorah, but come on, say, they're going to let her stay married with the Kayin and have relations which are potentially relations with Isser. So what's going on over here? As I fricked around the Darm, this is Eiker Davar HaTorah, even Mekum Vasei. Answers the Rabban, the Ran, sorry, in the Darm three Turetzim. One is Migda Milsa. They saw Migda Milsa as a and that's the more we had earlier as well. In a case where there was it's like Eslas Hashem Mefir Teisecha, Shasat Chak. When they saw women were becoming promiscuous, or they were using these Eitzas, even clearly with a brazenness, with a chutzpah, they were using these Eitzas, they had to, even in the face of a Kum Vaseh, they had to push back and stop utilizing this nemanis because it was leading to too much of a prekassal in Klal Yisrael. For Migda Milsa, we find that we could say that that's answer number one. He doesn't like it because that could be, he says that has not last forever, maybe only that time period, say forever to work. That's not so gishmak, says the Ran. Therefore, the Ran gives two other jurutsim. One Teret says, if a woman comes to Shataina, we're going to mafki the Kedushim retroactively, and it comes out that she was never married to the Kayan. She was never married to the Kayan. She wasn't Mazana. So it's interesting, she wasn't Mazana, she Tachtav, even minus. She wasn't Nenas Tachtav. And now she's Mutter to him, ironically enough. Now she's Mutter to him because she was never Nenas Tachtav. So we use the power of Afkinu, unbelievable, in order to back up, it's not being over a derisive of Kuma. Say, and lastly, the Ran says that the whole thing's a mistake. No question is a mistake. The fact that she was believed is when the woman always said a chazaka, say the truth. So she's believed. Since she's believed, therefore it's usher for her to be with the Kayin husband. If she's believed, let's say that she was nenas. But once they no longer were believed, she's not usher. It's not yamping ekedam ben atayra. Even ben atayra, she's no longer believed. When the woman was saying the truth, there was an amanis. Once there's an amanis, then you can't let her live with the Kayin. Once they started lying, then amanis is gone. Nashim in general, they lost that amanus. Once they lost that amanus, because of their brazenness to lie in order to get out of the marriage, once they lost that amanus, it's not being Iker, she's no longer an emun. She's not an emun. No longer do we have to, are we saying that we're letting her stay together in a sticky marriage? There's no sticky marriage. We have no reason to believe the marriage is usher. Once she's not believed, there's no problem in the first place. Azoy, Efet Duran, Gishmak,
Keteret. That's why you can't say Pashan. She's believed on herself. She's not believed on Yanim's husband. Say that the Kohen is usher on her? Hey, she has no nemanus for that.
But like Shavuot Shei type of logic. Okay, yeah. The Ran's question was based on the fact that we were believing her. There was Prayer Shaina, we believed her. I'll give you the biggest proof. She was Yaitzi, and she collected Ksuva. How did you have to get a Ksuva? Obviously, you believed her fully. You believed her 100%. If you only believed it for her own, let her get divorced. But certainly can't get Ksuva. Even divorce, it's at the detriment to the husband. So maybe even that you shouldn't be able to believe her. We clearly believed her. That was the question. The answer is that no, we stopped believing these Nashims. Therefore, the whole question doesn't start. Okay, so Yibaylu, back to our Shaila and our Sugya. Yibaylu, Netula min Yidim. If the married woman says, I'm removed from all Yidim. Liyavamahu. What's going to be the halacha with the, what's going to be the status with the Yavam? Do we say it entered her mind already that her husband's going to die and she's going to fall to Yibam? She's going to fall to Yibam. So her nether is indeed against the Yavam as well. A lie, or that never entered her mind, and therefore she'd be mutter to the nether never entered her mind about the Yavam, and therefore she's usher to other people, but just like she's mutter to the husband, she'll remain mutter to the Yavam as well. Rav Amar Yavam in Kabal, Rav says Yavam's like the Baal, means she's usher to the Yavam, Shmuel Amar Yavam in Kabal, Shmuel says the Yavam's like the Baal, and just like the nether was, actually the way it's just opposite. Rav says the Yavam is not like the Baal, meaning the Baal can only have relations with her if he undid the nether. If he didn't do the nether, he'd be usher. Where Shmuel says, no, the Yavam is like the Baal, and just like the Baal is only mutter to the Yavam if the net is undone, so too the Yavam is only mutter if the net is undone, but if the net is not undone, the Yavam would taka be Aser. Like Rav, it's not, if a woman is neder hana from the yavama b'chayy bala, so while the husband is alive, it's our mishnah. She makes a neder not to have ana from the brother-in-law. If the husband then goes and dies without children, we force the brother-in-law to chalitza because we say it wasn't her way of circumventing the yibam. Stam, she made a neder not to have ana from the brother-in-law. V'misa, but according to you, according to Shmuel, that says yavam is like the baal. Damaska Daita, what he's saying is that it occurs to her that the husband may die without children, l'chayra, and that's why the neder does apply to the avam, unless you say otherwise, unless you undo the neder. So l'chayra here too, why are we forcing the avam to chalitza? L'chayra, we should have forced him, because we can say she took it on herself, this neder, it's her problem. She should be just mevakash, we ask him, be nice, but... Right, tap Rashi. She is mechavim for this to ask herself on the brother-in-law, and therefore we can't force the chalitza because she brought on herself, according to Shmuel. Says the Mar Hakamayskinan. We're talking about a case with a woman had children. In the Mishnah's case, we're talking about a woman who was married and she has children with the husband. So over there, when she makes a neder against the brother-in-law, we say she's zichna making neder l'gabi ibam because it's definitely not on her mind that her children are first going to die and then her husband's going to die. That certainly is not maskadaite. And therefore, over there, it's pasha, even Shmuel would agree, it's not maskadaite, and therefore the neder is not referring to the brother-in-law. Ava, in the bottom, I ask him 1 second. According to what he's saying, if there's no children, what would the halacha of action? We taka would only ask him to do chalitza. We couldn't force chalitza. We'll go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, if she had kavana for the brother-in-law as well, she's dafka kavana for the brother-in-law, meaning not as well, for the brother-in-law for chalitza purposes, then we taka only ask him, we no longer force. That was that in the Mishnah, we made a chilik, whether she had clear das for the brother or not, lifting this midah, make a chilik whether she has children or not. When there's children, so we say she has no das for the brother-in-law. But if there's no children there, then we say the neder against the brother-in-law was with das the gabi the yibam, not stam general neder against the brother-in-law. It's das the gabi the yibam, and therefore it's only be mevakish. El shmami no leshna yesh banam sheinu banam kaifin esay kirav lecheret takash takaraya, that whether there's children or not, we do force the yavam to chalitza like Rav, meaning Rav holds that the woman while she's married never really considers the possibility of yibam is not in her mind, and therefore Nedo is never against her brother-in-law, and therefore we are going to force him to do chalitza unless we know for sure that she had a mind specifically for the brother-in-law for the yibam, again for the brother-in-law for yibam purposes. Otherwise, we're going to force the chalitza. Shema mina like Rav. Rav, shema mina. Hadron lech perek b'shamay. A very big mishnah coming up. We'll start it at least. We're going to start it with late in the day. We'll start it. This mishnah is very much a chazar. We had a lot of it in yesterday's daf. Zuck the mishnah. The mishnah reads very quickly, even though it's very long. It's a very short perek, and half the perek is almost a quarter of the perek is the mishnah. Cheresh shenas pikachas. A cheresh that marries a pikachas. Or a piker, either he's a piker or she's a piker, only one of them is, other one's a cherish. In Ratzel Haiti Yaiti, if they want to get divorced, they get divorced. In Ratzel Kam Kam, if they want to stay married, they'll stay married. Why? The Chorus of marriage are abundant, and they're not competent. How can they get divorced? Simple. Kam Shikaitis, Miza, just like the marriage took place per Miza with gesturing. Kachum makes for Miza, so too with gesturing alone, even though they can't talk. You can have the divorce also with gesturing. Piker Shos Pikachas, what if you have Piker married Pikachas, a fully married Raisa, then it's Charisha, and then afterwards she became deaf mute. In Ratzel Yaiti, if you want to get divorced, because he's the one giving her the get, and therefore it's not a problem. She's just a recipient. From Ratzi Kaim, before they can stay together. Nishtatas, however, if she becomes a sheitel, then she can't get a get. And that's a separate reason, not because she's not able to accept the get, because the Chazal want to protect her from people taking advantage of her. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Nischarish hu nishtata. If he became a cherish, so if they were both fully healthy when they got married, marriage to Raisa, he became a cherish, deaf mute, or he became a shaita, then you got a problem. He has to be bardas to give her a get. He's not a bardas, therefore he can't give her a get. What's the difference between the man who becomes a cherish, he can't be made to the wife, whereas the woman becomes a cherish, she can receive the get? So he has to kash, what's going on here? So Amr Lecham said, it's simple. You can't compare the man who's being the megarish to the woman who's receiving the get. The woman can be divorced with her ratzin or without a ratzin. She can be divorced even against her will. Just like she can be divorced to get malkar against her will. So you don't need her das, since you don't need her will. Also, even if she doesn't have the same level of das, she can accept the garish and it works. The first the Gemara discussed, as long as she knows, but she has to have some idea of what it means that she is being sent out of the house. But a man can only divorce with Ratzin, with his will, and therefore you need his das, otherwise you don't have a full Ratzin in order to give the get. We know, of course, Mary Geshu was Gezer, that even in Isha now, we don't give her a get against her will, we say that Isha has to be willing to accept the get, we make sure that she's also Ratzin. Hey, Rabbi Chaim Megada, Acharesha Siavia, Rabbi Chaim Megada testified about Chareshas, whose father married her off, she yates a beget, that she's able to, his father married off his marriage to Raisa, and still she's able to yates a beget, Amrulai, Afzu Keitzba, this one is also like her. The Chaim said to Rechem Nuri, they were telling Rechem Nuri, asked what's the difference, why when she becomes a Chareshas, could she receive a get, if the marriage is to Raisa, and he can't give a get, so it's such a Rechem Nuri, it's not the same case when the father marries her off, that even though she's a Chareshas, and the marriage is a Raisa to get marriage, because it was done by the father, still, when it comes to receiving the get, she doesn't have to be Baradas to be able to receive the get. First, point out that Rechem actually had children that were Harashim, the Gemara. He had children that were Harashim, that they were deaf mutes, and he treated them, there's a big Musar Haskell in treating how to treat especially these children. He treated them, he said to himself, if this is a Kosh Baruch who gave me these types of children, I have to bring out them to them the best of their ability, bring them up to their maximum potential, and he treated them to, he spent whatever efforts it took to try to teach them learning, make sure they were able to be involved in understanding Torah mitzvahs. They sat by the shiurim, I forgot who it was, of one of the big Tanayim. They sat in the front rows by the shiurim and they used to shake their heads, but they were deaf mute and no one really knew if they knew what was going on. And this big gadolist, this Tana, who they sat in front of, was so mitzvah for them. He davened on their behalf they should be healed. And the moment they were healed, they were bekiyim and shas. They actually knew what was going on. And based on this idea, actually, I don't know if it's based on this idea, but it's famous. Yeah, we'll pause over here. I don't want to, it's too late for, it's already time for shakras, we'll leave for davening. We'll pause over here to do the rest tomorrow, Mr. Shem. But the Reb Zilberstein brings that when it comes to a deaf mute, the whole issue is not because there's a custom that they're not considered bardas. We spoke about this in the past. It's just lack of communication, therefore they're assumed to be bardas, not a bardas. But if we see their bnei das, avad, there's no psak, they can't have das. 100% they're allowed to have dudinim, which to tell das, as long as we're confident they do have that knowledge.